Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Injection, Truth, Trust, Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you?
I'm doing good this morning, Neil. You?
Hey, you know, I'm doing great. It's spring, and let's just keep going, right? It's getting warmer, and exciting time being in this part of April, for sure.
Okay, today we're going to do a program, and I've tentatively entitled it, Everything You Wanted to Know About Gossip. Our guest today is Howard Bronson. Howard is a behavioral therapist from Vermont with over 40 years of therapy experience and also an accomplished author of 16 books. He has always been dedicated to uncovering the most factually based information in researching these books. We have previously investigated the topic of racism with him on this podcast. Please go back to my list of archived podcasts and review what Howard had to say on this very important subject. Howard has appeared on CBS This Morning and NBC Today shows and has done more than 1,000 radio interviews. His new book is entitled Speak Up and discusses how gossip has transformed racism and misinformation into a primary mental illness. Howard is, in my opinion, one of the most critically thinking philosophers of the 21st century. And it's a pleasure to have him back on my podcast to talk about a critical problem, which is gossip. Good morning, Howard.
Well, good morning, and thank you for that that flattering description of me. I hope I can live up to it.
Well, you did last time. I guess you're going to do it again. Howard, getting started, would you define gossip the way that you see it to be?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. First of all, I feel gossip is basically the mother of racism. Misunderstanding and gossip is where racism is born, thinking negatively of this group or that group. So when you look for dictionary definitions of gossip, this is really interesting. They'll talk about secrets and the sharing of secrets or the intimate sharing of information about another person. What they tend to leave out when is that most of these secrets, most of these things people say behind your back are false. Because if they were true, people wouldn't be saying them behind your back.
So you've related gossip and racism, but gossip covers much more area than racism, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, you know, we're all human. So we all have our fallibilities. We all have things we can look at and work on. What I try to do in my books, especially Speak Up, is hold up a mirror and say, this is what you're doing. Take a look at it. Most people think, you know, they'll say, I heard, or they'll say, you know, that neighbor, you know, he smokes goat hair or whatever. I'm just saying. And it's like they feel safe when they can gossip and when they can, you know, talk about other people. They don't understand the harm that it can cause.
Well, most people wouldn't know what to do with themselves if gossip didn't fill their daily lives, especially negative gossip. So what's wrong with you? What's wrong with using gossip to keep your life from being less boring?
Well, you know, this is the thing. People think it's a harmless behavior. You know, that you're talking about other people, and we get a satisfaction when we talk about others. We also get this sense of power or superiority that they have this defect that we don't have. And again, it gets back to the tribalism that, you know, protects or insulates our tribe. But really what happens is the other cousin to gossip, of course, is bullying. And if you, you know, go to any high school, any junior high, and the kids start talking about one kid who's a little different, and they embellish those differences, you know, there have been numerous episodes of self-harm and even suicide from kids who get gossip, who get misrepresented, who get spoken of in ways that are not true, or they get shamed for things they shouldn't be ashamed of just because they exist the way they exist.
So in my archives, I have at least one program on bullying. And if you go back and look at that, that would be good too. Now, if you can't confirm what you're saying is true, are you lying?
Yeah.
If you can't confirm what you're saying is true, are you lying? Yes, you are lying. If you're saying something that, I mean, look, we can wonder. And when you look at the basis of religion and mythology, we wonder about what is beyond, what is afterward. Wonder is fine. But when we make an assertion about someone and we don't have any evidence that that's true, that's a lie.
Okay. So is there such a thing as positive gossip?
Well, you know, you get into the realm of reputation, of good and bad reputation. You have, you know, those people who can be really kind and compassionate. And you have, you know, people who will talk about those people behind their back in praise. So yes, arguably there is an element, there's a vein of gossip that's positive. But what we see, and especially what we've seen in the past few years, we've seen people glomming on to information that has no basis in fact, that has no scientific evidence. And as you know, we talk about critically, learning how to think critically, most people do not know how to say, wait a minute, you know, you just told me this and it sounds interesting, but they don't say these three words, which is it true?
Right. So you said in your book, men lie to build themselves up while women tend to lie to build others up. Now, assuming that that's true, is this good gossip on the part of women? Are they nicer than men?
Well, you know, one could argue that there's no difference between men and women. And that's, you know, one of the forms of debate, as I'm sure, you know, you're aware of. But it makes women overall look nicer, you know, when they say something that's kind or, you know, and it's not true, but it embellishes someone else. It almost falls into the, you know, the borderline of promotion or advocacy. But women, you know, as with men, but women can be also more malicious. They can, you know, say something that could be devastating to a friend or neighbor. So, you know, what we have now are people using gossip every day, saying something about someone. And, you know, it's become almost unconscious. And especially, you know, exactly, the frenzy of politics. People have gone crazy about this person is this way, this is that way, and vilifying so many people, and we become so divided. And this is all because we are not approaching how we're talking and thinking about each other in a viable way.
Howard, it is so difficult to take anything that you hear and try to find out whether it's true or not. There will be people out there that will fact check it and say it's one way, and other people will say it's another way. You're kind of at the mercy of the system when you want to talk about anything that you heard?
There is a concept of called intellectual rationalization. It means you take people who are very brilliant and maybe in one political party or another and devoted to that party or any group. And the group may seem untoward, off, unsubstantiated, but these people are so intelligent that they can rationalize whatever their position is. And even if, you know, it sounds astonishing to hear that someone who you know to be a deep thinking person and a critically thinking person takes a side, it's fine for people to disagree with us. Disagreement and conversation and dialogue is healthy, and it's how we grow and learn. But when you have people who insist that their viewpoint or their way is the only way, and as you point out, Will, you know, when they can find some semblance of rationalization to assert, it's almost like a court of law, and they can create an argument that their position is correct and your position is incorrect.
So gossip is dangerous. We know that gossip
exactly
can cause people to kill themselves. What other ways is gossip dangerous?
Well, I think that, you know, there are, I came up with this adage where, which is, if politicians built airplanes, nobody would fly. Kind of a, you know, a cute little saying, but when you think about it, education is always the answer. Learning how to do something properly or understanding something clearly and learning how to weigh facts and separate facts from fiction. So gossip is in every element of our lives. You could have, I had a neighbor, I have all these great Vermont stories, and he insisted that you could always be on your knees when you're working in your garden. Well, we have a problem with two very dangerous types of ticks, deer ticks up here. And of course he got Lyme disease because, you know, he was saying, that's what you do. That's what he's always known. And that's what you do. So misunderstanding is not just, oops, I'm sorry. Oh, I was wrong about what I said about that person or what I did. It can really cause harm.
People seem to enjoy gossiping. Do you see an underlying philosophical or psychiatric or psychological defect in a person's thinking when they enjoy gossiping?
Well, you know, as you know, as basically the master and authority on addictions, you know, there are things that people do, excuse me, that give them a sense of glee, but beyond that, almost an increase of dopamine. And, you know, people who are addicted to food, drugs, alcohol, you know, lying, whatever it is. So that when we are speaking about other people, for so many of us, there's a rush of that glee. They're almost, you could almost argue there's somewhat of a dopamine rush from some people where they're saying, you know, they're talking about someone else and they feel this sense of satisfaction. You know, I got it out there. I put it out there. You know, years ago in Boston, in, you know, the severe local Boston mayoral political races, the opponents used to send people on subways, on the MTAs, to start gossip and to start rumors, because this also, you know, involves rumors about their opponents. And in a matter of hours, those rumors would spread all over Boston. So what we need to teach people how to do is say, wait a minute, is this true? Can you prove it?
Would you say that a good caveat would be, if you can't prove it, don't say it?
Well, I think, you know, the thing is, it's like so tempting when we are, it's like when you and I are writing a book and the vessel of our information fills up, you've got to like pour out that vessel. You've got to like share that information. And when we have something about someone else or something on someone else, it's so hard to not say something. But, you know, if we're respectful people, we might find different ways to say that. Like, does Joe, you know, really have contagious poison ivy or whatever? There are ways, you know, without asserting that it's true. Again, we go back to wonder and the question. So you can stop the malicious gossip. Anybody can, if you find that you're just talking about someone else. And what happens to me when, you know, I'm with a group of people and someone says, did you hear that, you know, Jim gained 20? And I try as hard as I can to go, wait, Jim's not here. Stop. Don't say that.
See, Howard, that's really elsewhere. Howard, that's really hard to just do that in a conversation with somebody.
No question, because what I'm looking to do is affect our DNA. I'm looking to change the way we look at ourselves and look at each other. We are, you know, the debate, are we a racist country? Yes, we are an extremely racist country, very exclusive, you know, the country clubs, the circles. So everybody has their own clique. That is so deeply unhealthy. And what I'm looking to do is basically, my goal is to end racism, not to say, oh, you know, let's do marches and put up signs and say racism, racism, racism. No, we need to look at our behavior, look at the way that we look at each other. And like I said last in our last interview, you know, with the Me Too movement and sexual harassment in the workplace, has changed markedly from these very public trials and very public reports over the past few years. It's helped to change men's consciousness and women, some women, for the better. We can do the same with racism if we stop simply talking about it and we start really looking at ourselves and our own subconsciousness, excuse me, our own subconscious, and say, wait a minute, am I a racist? I need to take a look at this.
How do you answer that question personally?
Am I a racist?
Right.
Yes. And it's not that I anti any group. Of course, I'm against groups that want to cause harm to people or, you know, are not supportive of minorities. But we all have presumptions. We all have prejudices. We couldn't walk out of the house or drive a car if we didn't have basic understandings. The key is to have healthy understandings and to take a second look at the way we're treating people. I mean, you know, we support a few very impoverished, struggling neighbors, and we give away 10% on average, sometimes 5%, but usually about 10% of our belongings, or sometimes we help them with projects. And I was helping these people, but inside I was kind of looking down at them, thinking, you know, why are they struggling like this? You know, they're able-bodied and, you know, but the fact that we look down at people, sometimes that suppresses them. And sometimes how we look at someone affects the way they look at themselves. So, you know, what we need to do is take a look at ourselves. We need to believe in the best of ourselves. And we need to treat people, we need to level the playing field, give everybody an opportunity to develop their best capabilities and their best gifts.
Let's skip back and talk about addiction a minute or two ago. And as you know, I've been helping people get rid of and cure their addictive behaviors. I want to talk about that in this sense. Is gossip an addiction? And my definition of addiction is if you have any behavior that is harming you in some way, either physically, mentally, socially, or spiritually, or anyway, that you find out is harming you or is harming someone you love as a result of your behavior, and you can't stop it for whatever reason you want to give, then you're addicted to that behavior. Now, if you use that definition on the concept of gossip, and I would think that gossip would fit under the broader addiction of negative thinking. Is that, in your opinion, a valid way of thinking about it?
Gossip is an unconscious, for the most part, negative addiction. When I say unconscious, we are, for the most part, not aware of what we're doing. When we talk about somebody, again, behind their back, and if we're talking about somebody in a kind and favorable way, look at your life, look at the way you are for the next 2 days, and look at the compliments that you pay to people, where you look them in the eye and you're face to face with them, of course, socially distant in these times, and consider how often you talk about somebody behind their backs. Now, a lot of times we talk about someone behind their backs because we have an issue with them and we can't resolve it. So we have this knee-jerk, unconscious addiction to gossip about it. Instead, we need to learn how to talk with people. You know, I don't like the way, you know, you were making fun of that woman at the bar last week. You talk to people. We all can learn how to do things better. And, you know, my intention in the book Speak Up is to say that the reason that we're playing the same old record, the cruel record of Speak Up, of racism, is that we're not looking at the issue with sufficient depth. We're not being outraged at how so many of us are looking down at other people instead of looking across at them.
Somebody said, you can't build yourself up by tearing somebody down. The only way that you can improve your self-image and your self-esteem is to lift another person up. Is that what you're saying?
What my instincts tell me is that we feel the best when we are giving or kind or complimentary to people. We feel the strongest and when we are forgiving. Carl Jung, you know, the great psychiatrist, philosopher, brilliant, brilliant mind, said this. He said, thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge. We have a world of many judges, of people judging each other and, you know, wanting to lord over one another. And, you know, that is so unhealthy.
You said, in explaining something in your book, let's say that you make a unfounded statement. For example, you can survive by only eating tomatoes. And the person that you're telling that to believes you. Now, isn't it the recipient of that statement's responsibility to know better? So do you have to stop gossiping, or does the recipient have to stop being so gullible?
Well, you know, caveat emptor, buyer beware. If somebody is telling me that I won't achieve a heightened state unless I take magic mushrooms or LSD. You know, to me, those kinds of things make me inherently uncomfortable. And this tomato example, if you say to someone, oh, you can survive on tomatoes,
exactly,
and you're vulnerable and you're gullible, you're going to, you know, you could literally die. There's no protein in that fruit. So, you know, you can prey on the less knowledgeable. I'm not going to say ignorant, because you have people, millions, tens of millions of people who, you know, are conditioned to watching videos and watching TV and believing every infomercial. And most politicians are basically running ostensibly infomercials. They're running shows so they can raise money. It's up to us to start thinking more, each of us as individuals, and to say, wait a minute, is this true? Can you prove this? Where's your evidence?
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess, Howard, where do we go from gossip? What do we do?
Where do we go? What do we do? When somebody gossips, when somebody starts to say, I heard about, you know, this party or that party, we need to stand up and we need to speak up. And we need to say, wait a minute, that person's not here. That's not fair. You know, it's like setting them up for trial without letting them defend themselves. We need to understand how weak this is. Now, look, our humor from what it was 100 years ago with the Three Stooges and the Marx Brothers, and, you know, has changed markedly. It used to be, and stereotyping African-Americans and, you know, other people of color, that was the humor. We can see a society, we can measure the tenor of a society by virtue of its humor. So it changes everything. Humor stretches how much we're going to take, how much we'll tolerate, but it also makes fun and kind of compels us to evolve. So in the changes are subtle but definite. If we look at our humor, we consider what we think is funny, and we say, wait a minute, I used to think it was funny to make fun of this group or that group or this person or that handicapped, that disabled person. You know, now I understand it's not funny. So these are the kind of subtle veins that run through our society that allow us to change. And when we hear newscasts, and especially in newscasts or alleged newscasts, making outlandish claims and statements about individuals without any evidence, or with, you know, again, ridiculous rationalization, but no real basis in fact, there are people that eat that up and go, oh, yeah, the guy I don't like is, you know, sleeps with his cats and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we need as a society to wake up, start thinking about what our true purpose is as an individual, why we're here, and what we can do to help heal this earth, not to add to the harm of it and not to make people enemies, but to figure out how we can work together and build the right teams of people that can help advance worthy causes.
Howard, let's take a personal question here. In your town, what do people think of you, and have you been the target of negative gossip, and how have you dealt with that?
That's a great question, and funny, because, you know, I once heard you can never be a saint in your own town. I have wonderful friends, and I mean, scores of wonderful friends throughout the, you know, the Windham County Valley, and I'm privileged in Southern Vermont to have those friends, and they support me. And I have enemies. I have people who are jealous of me, who have, you know, said spiteful things about me, have said racial things about me being Jewish. I've had, you know, and a lot of times what my position has been was not to respond. But let me tell you an interesting story. A very close friend of mine had heard some things about me. He was a very close friend. And instead of coming to me and saying, whoa, you know, I heard such and such, and, you know, this silly, it was a ridiculous story. And instead of coming to me with the story, I had to hear it fourth or fifth hand, you know, like playing telephone. And I heard it from someone else who said, you know, this is what they're saying about you. What do you want to do about it? And I said, absolutely nothing. I said, there's sometimes when people say things, you have to stand up for yourself, or people will believe them. But to me, it was like, I just had this sense. Well, anyway, this friend who's my contemporary, and was one of my closest friends at one time, suddenly died of a massive heart attack in his sleep. He died with misinformation about me. I could have gone to him at any time and said, you know, here's what's true. Do what you want to do with it. So again, we talk about the tomato example and the recipient. It was up to him to make the decision to decide whether it was true or not. And he took, in my view, and this is not to be disrespectful, but he took the lazy way out by being a judge. And I write about that in the book. You know, just tell your truth, do the best you can. And in your little town, you know, you're kind to people. I said in the last interview, you know, I changed a tire for a family in the raging blizzard about 7 weeks ago. It was freezing out there and they were really stuck and the kids were crying. And, you know, and I changed the tire and I helped the guy out. I got him out, made sure he was okay. Followed him home. I didn't ask about his beliefs, his religious beliefs, or his politics. You just help your neighbor. And that's one of the great metaphors of Vermont. We don't, you know, judge people for the most part. But sometimes in a little town, people get sloppy and lazy about the way they're thinking. My job, my calling, is to wake them up.
Howard, you have a utopian view of the world where nobody ever says anything malicious about anyone else. Do you really think that people can change their gossiping behavior?
Well, let me tell you another story. I guess maybe I've been in Vermont too long because I'm full of stories. But we have these beautiful cars we worked hard for. We decided instead of getting new cars that we'd fix them up, that it was worth, you know, putting substantial capital into both cars, and fix them up. And they're okay for now, but they're old cars. So something else is going to go wrong and something else is going to happen. And, you know, all of a sudden I thought, oh my goodness, you know, there are intelligent optimists. And what I was with the cars was a stupid optimist. You don't want to put your faith and hope into things that aren't going to work. But I think what we need to raise our sense of utopia or utopianism, I guess, in each of us, of what would make this a better world. Is this a better world because someone's taking drugs every day or drinking or having, you know, dealing with a sexual addiction or not getting along with their family? Are they making a better world? Or could they focus, could they look at their purpose and what they were born to do and help people in some way? So my utopia, my optimism about this world is an intelligent optimism. I've seen how we can evolve. I've seen how we can do better. I've also seen in this world, around the world, how one bad leader, I mean, you know, I have friends in Miramar, I have friends in Russia, how one untoward leader can create an entire society of people living in suppression and fear, where all they really have is their art and their poetry. We are born to live freely, to breathe freely. We do that by learning to be kind to each other and by finding and selecting, God willing, good leaders who are in our corner, who are supporting our quest to be true contributive individuals.
We've been talking with Howard Bronson today. His book is called Speak Up, and I can recommend this book highly. There's more good stuff in it that you can get out of it than any amount of money could buy you. So I would recommend you get a copy. Howard, how about a short infomercial on your book?
Well, you know, as you know, when books, we think a lot about a book. And as I was saying earlier, the vessel fills up. And I was thinking that we each know stuff. And I know stuff about racism because I've been picked on, you know, when I was a little one, I was dyslexic. I had a hand defect. I couldn't throw a ball. I was uncoordinated. I was picked on all the time. And it hurt. It hurt to be bullied. And I thought, you know, wait a minute. There's something inside of me. I have something to say. And here I am, as a dyslexic, not expected to really be able to read and forget writing. I became, and again, I'm not embellishing, I became an acclaimed writer and a successful writer under contract with Waldorf Publishing, under contract with Penguin Random House, under contract with Time Warner, because I heard an inner voice. And what happens with most people is they hear the loudness of the bully voice, of the negative voice, of the racist voice, and it suppresses their own true voice, or they join the wrong group as a consequence. What I'm saying is speak up for righteousness, speak up for fairness to your fellow human being. Let's make that change, and we can really begin to evolve again as a society. See the haters as haters. See the people who are for humanity as decent people. Take a second look at your life. Read Speak Up. It's designed for people to wake them up to the issues of unconscious racism and what they can do to lead healthy, productive, meaningful lives.
So, Howard, your book is available on Amazon.com. Do you want people to go to your website?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. If you want to learn more, because as you know, I have 7 books out this year and my wrists are killing me. I'm sure you've been through that. If you go to my website at freeenterprisesolutions.com, that's freeenterprisesolutions.com. It describes everything that we're doing and each book, and then whatever book you want to buy. And please, you know, you'll see the books. We've got a marriage book. We have a book about stumbling, which I think you and I might talk about next week. We have an entrepreneurial book that is second to none, and the others. So many, I can't even remember. But I put my heart into each book, and you know what that's like. You write a book, you empty out your knowledge in that book, and then, you know, you've got to take a few weeks and just kind of regenerate. So again, freeenterprisesolutions.com.
Thank you, Howard. Neil,
add is the whole thing with gossip, that Howard's so right. Anytime you get yourself in the gossip, you're going to get yourself into trouble. And if you're gossiping just to bring out information that you don't have any truth in, all you're doing is leading to more people to gossip. So Howard, if they could take your perspective, they'd have a much better life for sure in so many ways than dealing with it. Because once we gossip, we stress more about things. We don't feel happy, and we bring ourselves down as well, Howard, through gossip.
Right. So
I had a client, you know, I'll just quickly say, who was very severe bipolar and would have almost Tourette's-like outbursts. that were very assaulted. And so what I had her do when she was feeling this coming on and she'd feel her voice change and all the storm warnings were there, is I'd say, just say these two words to yourself over and over again. Be kind, be kind, be kind. And this is what I'm saying to people out there. I'm not, you know, completely just a hippie from the 60s. I am an advocate for kindness and fairness. We have gone off course over the past several years. We have put financial interests way above the interests of the individual. We need to get back on course. And it's knocked a lot of us off our path. We need to get back on those paths.
Thank you, Howard. Closing then, it's been my pleasure to have you listening to the show today. It's my sincerest desire for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, safer. I am Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission, and Truth Just Below the Surface is the longest running, single hosted and produced, spiritually based radio internet talk show in America. It has been continuously running for over 20 years. And I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 plus different forms and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life, and then acting on it. My mission or purpose is to spread a message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. And this is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And if you meet three simple criteria, everybody gets well. I have two free resources where you can start your journey. The link to my podcast is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no caps, no spaces. And for more detailed information about the treatment plan for addictions, go to www.RevWynHendersonMD.com. And that's the program for today, Howard and Neil, and hope everybody has a good rest of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, guys, that was, again, Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Just Below, Service, and the Neil Haley Show. Take care, everyone.